Welcome to Super Tatis, or Rosh Hashanah and a little bit of Ha'azinu, Shabbos Shuva. I'll try to give you a few stories and a few Divrei Torah that I've been planning for my table to share. One of the things we do with stories at my family's table for quite a number of years is something to show a little bit of Malchus Shamayim. We try to keep just notes of things that happened, which are overtly, notably Hashkacha, over the past year, and we take a couple of those highlights and the first night of Rosh Hashanah in order to appreciate Malchus Shamayim a little bit more intimately. We take a look at a couple of those Hashkacha stories. So I'll tell you one that just happened this very past week that I'm planning to mention just because it was so extraordinarily humorous. One of the challenges that I've had over the past year is I had a pinched nerve in my back, and it was very, very humbling from somebody who's very athletic historically to being hobbling around to, you know, somebody in their 40s, being told tongue-in-cheek by a friend, you don't look a day over 70, as I was, you know, struggling to move around. It was very, very, very humbling and everything else. And one of, through physical therapy and all kinds of other things, one of the things I was looking for is I used to own a kind of a sphere. It's kind of a trigger point ball that vibrates. But it was kind of high end that I would use when I had muscle pain. And over the course of my guess is about 8 months of pain, I was looking for it everywhere. I couldn't find it. I ordered a new one that was unsatisfactory, and I was just, I turned the house upside down, spent a lot of time looking for it, couldn't find it. And Baruch Hashem, last week, I finally have recovered enough to a point where I'm not taking Tylenol and Advil, you know, as a matter of course on a daily basis. And within a couple of days of doing that, I looked in one of the children's toy bins that is never really used. And lo and behold, there is the sphere, the massage ball, just sitting there looking at me. So I took it and said, you know, whoever put it here had a very sadistic sense of humor, but obviously it was a shlichus from a Kaddish Baruch Hu that they ended up doing that. And I looked and I said, you know, it wasn't the massage ball that was going to help me. It's not the Advil that's going to help me, nor any of the other medicines or anything else. It's just the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam told me I wasn't supposed to have this, so I didn't. And it showed up right after, just to show a little bit more of the Malchus Shamayim. Another story that we particularly love in my family is my wife is very, very safety conscious. And she has a habit of making sure the doors are locked, you know, before we leave town and things like that. She always wants to check the windows and things, which, you know, are practices which people view as very prudent. But one thing that she did not historically do, we have a garage, and our garage has a door into our house, and she wasn't always so concerned about checking whether or not that door was locked. Because, you know, there's a garage door between that door and the rest of the house. And lo and behold, she found maybe about 8 years into her living in our house that there was a window into the garage, and that window had never been locked, which meant that all of the time where she left that door opened, really somebody could have gotten into our house without having to pick a lock or anything else or break a window. They could have just climbed in through the window and then walked in through our garage door without being detected. So just once again, a Kaddish Baruch Hu was, you know, protecting the house. It was never the fact that there was a locked door or anything else like that. Finally, the last thing is the story about how ping pong saved my life. When our basement was being finished, and I was a young attorney at a large law firm, the basement had a ping pong table, and I was very busy. I was working around the clock, and my wife, in a moment of rachmanis, said to me, I know you could really use just a couple of minutes of break to clear your mind. Let's go play ping pong in the basement for a couple of minutes. And in this unfinished area, you know, we went over there. We hadn't been there in a couple of days. We're in a while, and we went to go play, and immediately could smell the smell of a gas leak as soon as you got there. And this was not like one of those little gas leaks that you don't get so excited about. This is the kind of gas leak where you wake the children up in the middle of the night and you take them to your in-laws' house and you you know, you wait for the house to air out for a couple of days and call the gas company. So that's my story about how ping pong saved our life. And it was just, you know, I guess you could say the chesed of my wife to try to, try to make sure that I was taken care of mentally. Also probably was a special zechus for that. So on to Divrei Torah. But those are three stories that we could tell as great hashkacha stories that happened to our family to appreciate Malchus Shamayim. So a few interesting machshavos that happened this year. One is in Evan Shlema that I just mentioned because, you know, there's a lot of pull and tug on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So as the beginning of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, it's, you know, the time where we start thinking about Tshuva, Tefillah, and Tzedakah, and, you know, being Machria, the Gezeira, and everything else. And it's very hard to not think about how those work in tandem. It's, you know, everybody always kind of connects to one more than another, it seems. So it's important to spend a little time considering, you know, how they work together. Says the Evan Shlema as follows: in every Maisa there need to be three things, and the archetype is with a plant. Okay, so you need planting, you need davening for rain, and then you need to tend to the weeds, as it were. You need to get the bad stuff out of there. Says the Gro, this goes really with Maisim Tovim as well. Okay, you need to do the Maisa with the Zerizis. You need to act with great alacrity. You need to get the puzzle of thoughts out of your head. I mean, he has a lot of thoughts about this with his concept of the Beis HaKisei, making sure that the philosophical, theological bases of our feelings will create good, holy acts. And then you need to daven the Ribbono Shel Olam. And this is something that we see with davening, with the David HaMelech davening in Tehillim. But we also see this in the tefillah of Nesana Tokif, because as we have tshuva, tefillah, and tztaka. Tztaka is the zriya, because it says in Hosea, zaru lachem tztaka, and then I believe it says uktzarua lifnei achased, and tshuva is like taking out the weeds. Tshuva means sometimes there's a big sur meira aspect of tshuva, which means that we need to get rid of kind of our bad feelings, our bad thoughts, our bad ashkafos or whatever. And the tefillah is obvious, but I think that this is a helpful consideration as we're going through the process of tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, specifically because we need to understand that there's a building aspect, there's a removal of the shmutz aspect, and then there's a turning to a Kadosh Baruch Hu for siyata, the shmaya aspect, and all three of those come in tandem together when we do the Aseres Yemei Tshuva properly. So that's something to kind of think about as we guide our families at our tables. There's a family's piece right at the beginning of Sefer Chari Tshuva about a jailbreak, and this jailbreak is really a mashal, an analogy, as it were, for how people are supposed to approach tshuva, and of course not to delay it. You know, there are different kinds of people. There are the people who are just like waiting, biting at the bit, waiting for Rosh Chodesh Elul, and they're just, you know, they're gunners. They're always, you know, ahead of the game. And then there are people who kind of delay a little bit, and there are people who are, you know, kind of waiting for Ne'ilah and Yom Kippur, and then the Shmini Atzeres people, and here we are, we're holding, you know, right before Rosh Hashanah, and this is just a reminder that, you know, it's time to act. So there's a jailbreak, and the mashal is there's a bunch of bandits, and those bandits are all in a jail cell together, and many of them make a hole and dig a way to be able to escape. All of them escape except for one. That one person who remains is caught by the warden the next while, and he gives him a patch, and he says, "The Kasha Yom, this is a terrible day. What are you doing? You know, you had an opportunity and you didn't leave." And on the one hand, it makes perfect sense because, like, this person had their golden opportunity to avoid whatever's coming to them. But on the other hand, they didn't really fix anything. If you, you know, take a, you know, a way out, they are you're really continuing, you know, in a way of trying to sidestep being a rule follower. So, you know, the other bandits dig their way out, and you're kind of in a world of inertia, you know, of inertia, and you had a way out. The other hand, you know, you aren't fixing the problem. You're not rehabilitated from the crime. So how do we kind of answer up this tirade? So the Yad Katana says, staying in prison belittles prison because they don't care about it. It's kind of a derech of chutzpah and gaiva. Shimusha Shel Torah says in the name of Rav Shach that there's a bigger gaiva here because it's not that you don't want to leave. You want to leave out of the, you know, the front door, but Reish Gully, as it were. Muderes Heller of the Shari Tshuva says, you know what? I understand the idea that you don't want to leave out of the, you know, out of the hole or whatever it is, for whatever reason it is. But you could have approached the king, you could have approached the Malchus and try to work something out. Here you're an existential zombie. You're embracing the status quo. Embracing the status quo is the most foolish thing to do when you're simmering in a life of Avera. We can do better. And I would add one other point is, you know, the Mesilas Yesharim says straight up, we can't undo what we did. And tshuva is, it goes beyond logic. It's only because a Kodesh Baruch Hu allows for tshuva to exist that that we can do it. We can't unkill somebody. We can't really unhurt somebody when we hurt them. We can't undo many of the averus that we try to do tshuva for. So just like tshuva isn't necessarily fair or just, so too, you know, the way out may be here, not necessarily fair or just. We do tshuva because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows, and maybe we take the way out of that jail cell because HaKadosh Baruch Hu let them. So last answer is Yerucham Levovitz makes a point here. It's not 100% galat that it's like the, you know, the human odyssey towards the exit, because really we should dig our own way out, you know, of our own problems. Here it's other people dig and you didn't even join with them. But it does highlight one of the components of being part of a good community is that sometimes you ride on the coattail of others. When you see other people successfully do tshuva, it kind of gives us a little bit of encouragement that maybe we could do it too. Okay, one last point. There's a Gemara in Sota, Chaf Aleph, that says, Avera Mechaba Mitzvah. You know, in a fully quantitative sense, you know, you're looking at the scales of your Averus, your Zechuyos, versus your Averos, and you see an Avera on one side. It can undo a mitzvah, you know, one and one. Aval avera einu mechabet Torah. An avera can't, it can't erase Torah. And it quotes the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, says, Mayim rabim lo yuchlu lechabos ha'ava. And I believe it's unaharos lo yishtafua, it's in Perek Ches, says, lots of water can't extinguish the love that I have for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Maharsha there makes an observation. Look, it's really true that Torah is magical, but one of the interesting components that's highlighted here is we see the Torah as nimshal both to mayim sometimes and sometimes to ish, sometimes to water and sometimes to fire. Like, for example, the Gemara in Tainus says it's like water because it goes from high places to low places, because Torah really is going to only find receptacles of lowly people, anavim and whatnot. At the same time, we see it's like fire. It's the hislavos. It's this beautiful feeling of esh. Halo devarai ke'eshnu Hashem, my words are like fire. So then how can you do dveikus, say Chazal? You can only do it by having dveikus to talmidei chachamim, right? So we see it's fire, it's water, but Torah is love, for sure it's love. And we see that in the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva. Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva says Tshuva mi'ava is our connection to Teres Hashem. So the question is, how could Torah really have both the components of fire and water at the same time? We see, by the way, in Eov, fire and water are enemies. That's why it's such a pella. We say, Oseh Shalom Bimromov in Eov, Kodesh Baruch Hu can make the fiery celestial bodies of Malachim and the watery celestial bodies of Malachim somehow work in tandem. And indeed, that is the nes of Barod. Barod was hailed. The nes betoch nes is that the two of them could somehow work in tandem. So I will answer with a tzushtel from another sugya, and that sugya is the question of mitzuvah va'osa. So we know Chazal tell us, Godola mitzuvah va'osa, misha'ena mitzuvah va'osa. Somebody who has a mitzvah and does it is greater than somebody who is not commanded and does a mitzvah. And it's said in the name of Tosfos, maybe sometimes in the Ritva. I haven't found this Tosfos, but whatever it is, there's a greater Yetzer Hara to do, to not do something right when you're commanded. That's the idea. So, as soon as there's this little imp of the perverse that makes the Jewish people want to run away from Har Sinai, like the Ramban says, and everything else. But there's a kasha on that from like a bar mitzvah bachur. You look at a good bar mitzvah bachur, they're 12 years and 11 months old. They can be a bum. They want to bum out. But as soon as they become bar mitzvah, or as soon as they start having hanachas tefillin or something like that, they are on fire. They will never miss shul. They want to get to chavrusa on time. They're going to, optically, they look like they're a merkava l'shrina l'chola deos. They have such zrizus and excitement, and it can be contagious to those of us who are a little bit older. So how could it be that we would really say that they have a greater Yetzer Hara? My answer to that question is very simple. Their Yetzer Hara is not going to be to keep them from going to go do a mitzvah, but it's to do an avera while they're doing that mitzvah, right? So they're going to make it to shul on time, but they might push somebody over or run a red light or endanger somebody while they're doing it. In other words, they could be a chassid shaita. Said more clearly is that sometimes the Yetzer Hara tells us to go and sometimes it tells us to stop. It's not always that the Yetzer Hara is just trying to slow us down. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara is trying to make us go faster and more reckless and become a such chassid shaita. And it says with a dynamic Yetzer Hara, we need a dynamic remedy. And that is the idea. First thing that Mesillas Yesharim says that too, says that the Yetzer Hara, the harder Yetzer Hara in life, is the one that makes an Amud look like an Adam and an Adam look like an Amud. It's not when we miss something, but when we misperceive it. It makes us think a mitzvah is an Avera, and an Avera is a mitzvah. For something that dynamic, Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Torah Tavlin, we need a dynamic remedy, a remedy that can tell us to stop and a remedy that can tell us to go. That is fire and water. And that's why Torah has to be both. Torah has to be both because we need something that's going to be able to fit in every situation and every contour of life. So that is my tirutz to that idea, and I hope it resonates. It's a true idea of really the avdus of the of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. One last idea and a bracha for all of us is that, this year has been a year where I have more palpably felt the Tzar Hashchina, and we should all be zocha in whatever way we can as we're mamlecha Kodesh Baruch Hu to really try to be marbe b'chavod shamayim. I wish you all a wonderful, wonderful year full of success, happiness, health, and prosperity.